You're listening to an audio zine produced by The Ex Worker.
For more free audio zines and regular episodes of our podcasts, check us out at crimethink.com.
The Ex Worker. For everyone who dreams of a life off the clock.
Make ready. Safeguarding our movements against repression. How to respond to Donald Trump's threats. Released on September 18th, 2025. In a post on Truth Social yesterday, Donald Trump declared that he is designating Antifa as a major terrorist organization. What does that mean? How can we prepare to weather the storm? Everyone should read this guide. It's always difficult to tell how seriously to take Trump's performative declarations. He makes wild statements to see what plays to his audience, throwing things against the wall to see what sticks, and then doubles down wherever there is no pushback. But this time around, his administration has stuck very close to the classic fascist playbook, with one supporter going so far as to declare, without any irony, that the shooting of Charlie Kirk is the American Reichstag fire. The obvious next step in that playbook is to expand from targeting immigrants to go after anarchists, leftists, and other opponents of the regime as well. Yes, Trump has previously declared that he would designate Antifa a terrorist organization, most famously at the outset of the George Floyd revolt. But at that time, the rest of the federal government largely acted as a brake on his impulses, whereas today, the entire executive branch of the federal government is comprised of toadies and sycophants who are incapable of distinguishing their interests from his. Granted, there is no law authorizing the president to designate domestic terrorist organizations. But even without new legislation or an executive order, Trump has direct control over the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and other federal agencies. What he says on social media is probably indicative of what he will direct his underlings to do. The fact that Antifa is not an organization at all, but rather a nebulous category that could include virtually anyone who disapproves of Trump's autocratic agenda, is convenient for Trump. This means that, regardless of who you are and what you do, you, too, could become a target. That's why everyone should review the following suggestions, whether or not you think they apply to you. Rather than spreading panic, preparing ourselves in concrete ways will enable us to approach this situation calmly and effectively. While no domestic terror organization designation currently exists, and nor does any obvious mechanism to establish one, far-right prosecutors already have a track record of groundlessly pressing trumped-up terrorism charges as a means of terrorizing activists and supporters of social movements. Trump has explicitly called for the use of racketeering charges to suppress his critics. Far-right Republican senators are already sponsoring a bill that would add rioting to the list of offenses that the Justice Department can use as part of a probe under the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations, RICO, Act. There are obvious precedents for how this might go. 2 years ago, a wide range of defendants in Atlanta, Georgia, were randomly charged under the RICO Act as part of the repression of the Stop Cop City movement. The cases have been endlessly delayed, and earlier this month, a judge dismissed most of the charges on a technicality. Under Donald Trump, many federal agencies are disorganized and focused chiefly on managing perceptions. This precisely describes the authorities who brought the haphazard RICO charges in Georgia 2 years ago. If the trajectory of the Stop Cop City RICO case offers any indication of how other RICO persecutions of accused activists might go, the chief threat may not be that the crackdown Trump is calling for will send people to prison, but rather that the charges will discourage and immobilize people, creating the conditions for the Trump administration to eventually supersede this form of repression with something worse. It remains to be seen how seriously the administration will carry out Trump's threats, and whether they will start by attacking grassroots groups or proceed from the top down, targeting massive liberal institutions and fundraising platforms. In either case, our long-term prospects will depend on whether we can establish large numbers of people to act in solidarity with each other, taking up the kind of grassroots direct action tactics that can be effective regardless of whether the people who control the state wish to listen. Here are some steps you can take to protect yourself and your community, proceeding from the immediate to the general. Don't be intimidated. Keeping your morale up is essential to resistance. Do not surrender in advance. Our adversaries aim to cow us into submission because they know that they cannot subdue us by brute force alone. Remember, managing perceptions is core to the fascist project. They seek to project strength at all times precisely because they are not invincible. Even when things seem grim, keep your hopes up and keep fighting. Defeatism only serves the enemy. Several recent examples show that a determined movement can beat repression. On January 20th, 2017, only a few hours into Trump's first presidency, hundreds of people were arrested in proximity to his inauguration. They were charged with 8 identical felonies apiece, 2 of which were not even on the books as legitimate charges, and threatened with decades in prison. The defendants could have reacted by taking plea deals or going it alone in the court system. Instead, in an astonishing display of solidarity, nearly 200 people committed to fighting the charges together. And after a stressful year and a half, they beat every single one of the charges. The Stop Cop City RICO case has foundered thus far for similar reasons. RICO and conspiracy cases often hinge on whether some of the defendants can be frightened into cooperating with the prosecution. If the defendants form a united front and their communities stand resolutely beside them, the chief advantages of the state evaporate. Solidarity is power. Make the most of your strengths. Donald Trump and the institutions he presides over are hierarchical, centralized, formally structured, and profit-driven. They would prefer to fight a symmetrical adversary. By contrast, the movements that challenge them are largely decentralized and horizontal, without formal roles or funding. This is a good thing, not only because it undermines prosecutors' concocted narratives, but also because it makes it more difficult to figure out who to target in the first place. If they have to focus on the population at large, if resistance could come from any direction, they won't be able to concentrate their forces. The autocrats are not in a position to repress everyone who opposes fascism. Remember, on June 14, 2025, the day of the No Kings demonstration, well over 5 million people flooded the streets to defy Trump. Safety will not come from hiding from the authorities, permitting them to go after their targets one at a time, but rather from spreading resistance tactics, strategies, and momentum as widely as possible. Everyone who is against fascism is an anti-fascist. In seeking to target everyone who opposes fascism, Trump is biting off more than he can chew, provided we don't roll over and let him win. Prepare for federal visits and raids. Review what to do in the event of a visit from police or federal agents, whether they are simply making inquiries, show up with a subpoena, or execute a no-knock raid. Back up your electronics and store the backup somewhere secure that cannot be easily connected to you. Remove items from your house that should not fall into the wrong hands. Get legal representation in place ahead of time, so you know what lawyers you will work with. If you learn of someone else's house being raided, show up and take video footage. The more attention is focused on every state assault, the safer everyone will be. Instruct your friends in advance as to how they can support you in the event of a raid or arrest, whether that means feeding your cat, providing childcare, or reaching out to your employer or family members. Make your preferences known in advance. For example, if you are arrested, would you prefer to be bailed out immediately or to wait to see if your bail is reduced? The more precisely you can specify your desires in advance, the better. In a worst-case scenario, you don't want rival factions of your support committee to be wrangling over what you would prefer without any way of resolving the question. Be transparent about repression. If you are the target of repression, talk openly about it. They want to isolate you and make you paranoid. If you're already on their radar, you gain nothing from trying to hide that they are targeting you. Don't draw any connections for them that are not already clear for all to see. Don't make yourself unnecessarily easy for them to find. But double down on your public connections. If federal agents visit you or subpoena you, the best way to get the support you need and maintain the trust of your community is to refuse to cooperate, document everything about the encounters, and publicize it so that everyone knows what is going on. Redundancy means resilience. If you play a role in a project or community effort, however formal or informal, make sure others know how to do what you do. That goes for you as an individual and for any groups you participate in as a whole. Spread your skills and knowledge far and wide. Copy the key to the bookstore. Share the login to the social media account with someone you trust. Help people to found another food distribution or legal aid project like your own. Making it easy for others to replace you can diminish the incentive to target you. Likewise, make information about how to counter repression as widely available as possible. Hold regular educational events in your community about security culture and distribute materials about it. Educate people about how to respond if agents pressure them to become informants or subpoena them to a grand jury. The more people know these things, the better, as federal agents sometimes begin by exerting pressure on those they perceive to be on the periphery of social movements. Coordinate to support each other. Reach out to others in a similar situation. For example, if you run a radical bookshop or student group, you could create a network of similar projects so that all of you can move into action as soon as one of you is targeted for repression. Brainstorm about what forms of leverage you can employ to maximize the cost of targeting you and to ensure that any assaults on you mobilize people rather than intimidating them. Prepare a contact list and a list of responses tailored to different scenarios. Give copies of these documents to comrades you can rely on to support you in the event of repression, so that as soon as something happens, everyone will hear about it and know what to do. For example, if we are arrested and not immediately released, such and such group will hold a press conference the next day, such and such person will conduct an online publicity campaign, and such other person will arrange a fundraising campaign. Discredit the police and courts. While Donald Trump and his henchmen have sought to bend the legal system to their will and sidestepped it outright wherever that was not possible, this involves some drawbacks as it diminishes the perceived legitimacy of institutions that they nonetheless rely on. Promisingly, multiple grand juries have refused to indict defendants charged by prosecutors serving Donald Trump. We should popularize the tactic of jury nullification as a means by which ordinary jurors can throw a wrench in the gears of federal repression. Wherever possible, we should erode public faith in the institutions that Trump will use for his crackdowns. Despite the false promises of liberal politicians, the wave of momentum towards defunding the police that crested in 2020 secured no major changes in legislation or budgets. The one lasting effect of the movement was that, through grassroots action, the participants succeeded in compelling large numbers of people to quit the police force. Today, exerting continuous low-level pressure against the Trump administration and its lackeys will diminish the number of people who are prepared to serve Trump as traitors to their communities, whether as ICE agents or in some other capacity. fracture the political class. We need a strategy to compel opposition politicians to actually impede the police state rather than simply standing aside. Left to themselves, most politicians will simply cultivate an image rather than helping those who are under attack. But if their image depends on the perception that they are opposed to Trump, that can offer points of leverage via which to impel them to take a stand. Identify every institution, group, and influential individual that you have access to that is not inextricably invested in the rise of fascism. Work out what forms of leverage you can exert on each of them. With some of them, a conversation will suffice. With others, it might require other means. Set concrete goals, such as dissuading job seekers from working for ICE, getting influential figures to issue solidarity statements, or compelling local politicians to instruct police not to cooperate with federal operations. The police state requires the smooth functioning of the entire apparatus of power. That makes it vulnerable at countless different points. The liberals who helped create a fracture between Trump and Elon Musk simply by holding signs at Tesla dealerships have demonstrated how to divide the alliance that supports Trump. This should be repeated over and over, especially targeting those who are peripherally involved rather than those who are most deeply committed to his authoritarian project. Peel away the pillars of his support structure, one by one. The United States is polarized and divided, regionally as well as locally. If communities, cities, or whole regions can eventually put themselves concretely beyond the reach of federal repression, a model for real resistance will emerge. Take the offensive. In chess, once you become focused on defensive maneuvers, you have lost the game. To face down Trump's power grab, we need proactive strategies. Rather than simply reacting over and over, we have to choose the time and place of conflicts. This can be a way to tie up the resources and labor cycles that will otherwise be directed against us. Trump's oligarchical policies are immiserating countless millions all around the world. We need to demonstrate means of addressing the urgent needs that he is creating in a way that conveys a revolutionary vision of social change. The best defense is a good offense. Refuse to divide. When repression succeeds, its most damaging effect is not the immediate impact of the blow, but the fault lines it opens up. Trump's chief goal is to make us doubt ourselves and resent each other. Resolving misunderstandings and conflicts is a fundamental part of resistance. Present criticisms in good faith, holding open the door for those who are currently your rivals to eventually become allies, provided that they learn to conduct themselves responsibly. Those spreading divisiveness and toxicity are doing the work of the state. When the police knock on your door, your rights and options. In cooperation with legal counsel, our comrades have prepared a poster explaining how to handle visits from law enforcement. This includes any agent from any law enforcement agency, regardless whether they are local, state, or federal, including the FBI, ATF, and ICE, when they are working as law enforcement, uniformed or not. Consider putting a copy of this poster by the doors of your residence and familiarizing yourself with the information. These days, no matter who you are or what you're doing, you never know when you might receive an unwelcome visit. Say, "No, you cannot come in. I do not consent to a search." Keep the outer gate or door chain locked. If you must, step outside and close the door behind you. Better yet, speak through the door. Say, "No, I will not answer your questions." You can also say, "I have been advised to not answer questions. If you leave a card, a lawyer may contact you." The police are trained to intimidate. Don't let them bully you. Regardless of what they say, remember that you are never required to answer anything they ask. Your responsibility is to your conscience and your community, not to the police or their investigation. Research the legal resources available in your area. Keep the phone numbers accessible for the local National Lawyers Guild hotline, the local hotline to report ICE raids, and any contacts you have for legal support or raising bail money. Agree on a response plan with those you share this home with. Keep in mind that the phone numbers you have written out in your home may be discovered by police. Do not sign anything you are given without seeking advice from a lawyer first. Lying to police may result in criminal charges. The safest thing to do is not engage with them at all. Rehearse the phrases on this poster. That way, when the time comes, you will feel confident enough to deny them entry, access, and information. If they want to conduct a search, ask if they have a search warrant that is signed by a judge. It must be no more than 10 days old. If they do not have a search warrant, say, "I do not consent to a search." You may inform them that if they leave a card, a lawyer may contact them. You can then ask them to leave, or you can simply close the door. If they do have a warrant, you may ask them to slide it under the door or mail slot. You may want to take a picture of the warrant and send it to a lawyer. Signal is a secure and encrypted messaging app for smartphones. You can assert that you wish to consult with a lawyer before consenting to a search. This may not stop them from entering. Before they enter, you may wish to shut down electronics, move anything you wish to keep private from plain sight, and close all doors. The warrant may not apply to the entire house. Anything in plain sight that obviously appears illegal or evidence of a crime may be seized. If they have come to carry out an arrest, they must have an arrest warrant signed by a judge that is no more than 10 days old, specifying someone in this home, who is named. You are not required to confirm whether or not that person is present. The best way to decline to answer is to say, "I am going to remain silent. I will not answer any questions without a lawyer." If police have a reason to believe the named person is in the premises, they may enter without your permission to search for the individual. They can check places where a person could hide. Anything in plain view that obviously appears illegal or like evidence of a crime may be seized. If the arrest occurs inside, police may more thoroughly search the area of the person arrested. On the other hand, if the named person decides to surrender outside, it may limit or prevent a police search of the house. It is crucial for anyone arrested to fully exercise their right to remain silent. Do not answer any police questions other than booking questions, name, date of birth, and address. The best way to assert this right is to say, "I am going to remain silent. I want to speak to a lawyer." If they have a subpoena, police who come to your home with a subpoena are not legally entitled to enter unless you give them permission. Unless they have a warrant, they cannot come inside to search for anyone or anything named in the subpoena. The best way to assert that they do not have permission is to declare, "I do not consent to searches." After an incident, you may want to write down the details of what happened. Include the date, time, location, the people present, the agencies involved, the badge numbers of the officers, the names they mentioned, the questions they asked, the items they seized, and any damages, injuries, or other details. Documenting the details of this incident can be beneficial. Later, it may be important to have a record of all these details, and it is possible they will be forgotten otherwise. In case there could be potential risks if the document is discovered, it may help to protect the privacy of the document to write the name of an attorney and the words, "Confidential Attorney-Client Communication."
And that's all for this episode of The X Worker. For links to the text versions of what you've just heard, or to listen to more podcast episodes, audio zines, and audiobooks from our collective, check out our website at crimethink.com/podcasts. The X Worker, an audio strike against a monotone world. For everyone who dreams of a life off the clock. Thanks for listening.